sure? Are you going to be sure when I get done with this message? I hope so. Yeah. It's an interesting topic because it affects all of us. And the questions that came up earlier are interesting questions. Saved from what? What are we saved from? What do we need to be saved from? Or who do we need to be saved from? This is interactive here, guys. You can... Okay. The wrath of God. So we need to be saved from Satan. Saved from eternal separation from God. So in two different people's responses, I heard that we need to be saved from Satan and we need to be saved from God. That's an interesting concept. Let's explore that together. Let's see. Oh, I don't have my little monitor thing. Okay, I'll do a lot of looking behind myself. Okay, so praying about this topic this last week and listening to God, one of the things that God put on my heart that He really wants all of us to walk away with today is the joy of our salvation. I think He told me that because I think it's something that every single one of us at some level has lost. You know, maybe more, some more than others, but I mean, you're either in the position of you haven't come to salvation, you haven't come to that place, or you have and you've lost that joy of walking in your salvation. And we're going to speak to both of those this morning. Look at this verse. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. I love that verse. I've heard him referred to as the Shakespeare of the Israelites' history because of the way he writes. It's an awesome book to read, but he puts things in word pictures a lot. And that's what we can have. We can draw from that joy of our salvation, that well that's there. So we're going to look at that together. But before we go any further, we have to ask ourselves, if we are in the proverbial tower and being rescued by God and we need to be saved, the question comes, if you watch a movie with that scenario, usually it picks up with the prince, you know, climbing the tower, and there's all this, and they save her, and then the rest of the movie is them working out their relational differences and stuff. But there's a whole story of how did she get in the tower. And sometimes they'll cover just a little snippet of that, but that's the story that we have to look at to learn about why we need to be saved and what we need to be saved from. So we got to go to the garden and look at Adam and Eve, the first man and woman who interacted with God in this garden, this beautiful place that God created, and what happened in that garden. So let's just read a part of that story. The fall of man. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. So what was the big issue for Eve? Why did she choose to eat the fruit? What was she abandoning when she did that? Knowledge. She was wanting knowledge. She was wanting more understanding. Yeah. She was also wanting leadership, wasn't she? Because God set rules, gave them everything they needed. I mean, what would life be like? What would this world be like if we all could just let God lead us? just let him call the shots. We just can't do it. We just don't want to do it. Eve didn't want to do it. Adam didn't want to do it. You know, he let Eve lead him in this case. And he also made that decision to partake in it. So there's a huge issue with leadership going on in our relationship with God. Okay? So is God saving us from himself? Absolutely. It's really quiet in here. Check this out. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him, through Jesus? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Who is this God, our enemy? Do you realize that we used to be God's enemy? Why? God made a bunch of people so he could have some enemies that he could, you know, fry. Right? That's how it all works. No. We chose our own leadership. We chose to be enemies with God. He didn't look at read before they ate of the fruit. We weren't acting as enemies with God. We weren't walking in a relationship of enemies with God. No, we were lovers. Intimate with God. And then we fall into this position of being enemies with him, his wrath. We need to be saved from his wrath. So we're going to look at two aspects of God that create this problem for us. One is that God is just. Okay? A couple verses that tell us that. There's many of them. That he is the rock. His works are perfect. And all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he. And Job says, it is unthinkable that God would do wrong, that the Almighty would pervert justice. So, a while back I was traveling into Greece across the border with my friend, an Albanian friend of mine, who wanted to buy a computer. And he wanted me to go help him pick out a computer. And at that time, this was, gosh, I don't know, I don't want to do the math, but 7 or 8, 10 years ago. And there weren't a lot of computers in the country of Albania. So he's getting this laptop. And we're coming back through the border. And Albania is one of the poorer nations in Europe. I think at one point it was the poorest nation. I don't know if it still is. So, and Greece was a little better off. I've heard recently that Greece is not doing so well. But we're coming back through the border, but there's a lot of bullying that goes on. There's a lot of corruption, not just on the Greek side, but on the Albanian side, but towards the people who are trying to get across. It's extremely hard for an Albanian to get a visa to even go to Greece or anywhere outside of the country. So they've got a lot of leverage at the borders. We're coming back in. I'm sitting in his car, and he gets out and goes into the office there at the border, and he's there for a long time. And he comes back out, and he gets in the car, and he starts it up, and he's like, well, that only cost me 100 euros. I'm like, what? Yeah, I had to give him 100 euros. But he's just like, matter of fact, he's a businessman. He has to go through there a lot. He knows how it works. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And I start to, you know, unbelt my thing. I'm like, I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to tell him I'm an American citizen, and this isn't right. And he's like, no. And he grabs my arm. He's like, please don't go in there. Because the next time he has to cross the border and I'm not with him, he's in for it. He's going to be paying 500 euros. So I left it, but man, something in me just boiled. Here's this guy in this poor nation trying to make a living and just getting ripped off, 100 euros, just to do something that he already had gone through all this process to get a visa even, and probably had to pay a bunch of money under the table for that. So something in us boils about that, and we want justice, but we don't want it administered to us. Right? We get ticked when we think about God as being a just God and administering justice to us. How unfair is that? So we get a speeding ticket, right? We are so excited that there are policemen who patrol and keep the road safe so we can drive on the roads, right? And I hope they do something and give tickets to these guys who are speeding around everywhere, because I want to be safe when I'm out on the road, right? But boy, when we're late for work and we're just going to push it 12 miles an hour over going through town and we get pulled over, we're either crying, you know, because the policeman decided to not let us off but give us a ticket, or we're irate, like I usually get, because you got to be kidding me. Come on, give me a break here. You're going to actually give me a ticket for going 12 miles an hour over the speed limit. So this is how we run into, this is how we run into it, how we run into God's justice, right? So Romans, we saw this a little earlier, for the wages of sin is death. He's a just God, and if he sets the wages at 20 bucks an hour or whatever, he's going to pay you 20 bucks an hour, okay? Well, he set the wages at death for sin, because that's how rotten it is in your life. It's going to destroy you. So he set the wages really high. The wages of sin is death, and he is a just God, and he's going to pay you what he said he would. Okay? This is matter-of-fact stuff right now, okay? God is holy. Let's look at a couple verses for that. Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, be holy. Why? Because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Okay? And in that holiness, the problem is created. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt. Your lips have spoken lies and your tongue mutters wicked things. No one calls for justice. No one pleads his case with integrity. They rely on empty arguments and speak lies. They conceive trouble and give birth to evil. And so we have this problem of separation now, because God is holy. And like water, like oil poured into water, our sins don't mix with God's holiness. I'll let you guys think about that for a little while. So there's these rules established. You know, our sin cannot mix with God's holiness. His justice must be carried out. So we can't just break into heaven. What's up? You know, live a life of sin and just show up and say, God, give me a big hug. When we're covered with, you know what? Right? Oil. That's a nice way of putting it. Okay? But what's God's posture? But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we're not the dirty diaper that God's carrying over to the garbage can, which is hell, and dropping us in. No, this is his posture towards us. While we were still sinners, while we were still covered with oil, right? Bad kind of oil. God came and made a way, and that's what we're going to explore this morning. How do I find salvation? Okay? That's the question. A lot of you think you know the answer to that, and you probably do. Some of us don't in this room. We don't know the answer to this. So I'm just looking at what God says in his word about himself and about how to find salvation. To truly be saved, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to die. That's what God says. If you want to live, you have to die. Right? You have to let go of the ice wall that you're trying to climb up in your life. Just let go. Fall into the arms of God and then let him show you the way. Okay? What must I believe to be saved? We're going to look at four topics of this. One is, Jesus is the only way. Let's look at this, what Jesus says about this. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And this creates a lot of controversy, I'm sure, back then and today. Can't there be many streams? Can't there be many ways to God? Does Jesus have to be the only way? And we have a choice at this road, fork in the road, of do we believe what Jesus says about himself? Or do we not? And he says right here that he's the only way. And so that's what I believe. Salvation is a gift that can't be earned. Okay? So I've done 6,493 sins, or maybe let's say 6,500,000. Okay, so I just need to keep track and keep a list, not sin anymore, and do that many good deeds. And maybe that's the equation that will make things right with God. That wage, that debt will be paid, and I can get into heaven. And we all know that that is not going to work, because we may have tried it before. It doesn't last. Okay? For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Okay, it's a gift. We get that, right? This is multiple times in Scripture. But look at the second part, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So, we're not saved by good works, but we're created to do them, right? So, in coming to Christ and in being saved, the good works come. Because a lot of people use this, the first part of this verse. Well, we're saved by grace, so I'm not really going to focus a lot on good works. But we forget the second part, which is that's what we were created to do, was good works. That's the purpose of our lives. That's part of why God made us. Repentance. Okay? Repentance. What is repentance? What does repentance mean to you? Turning the other way. Okay? Anybody else? Anybody have a different definition of repentance or a different way of saying that? Change. Okay, so it's saying you're sorry. I'm sorry for tripping you. Right? I deal with this a lot with my kids. The difference between saying you're sorry, what's that? And not doing it again. Right? That's the hard part. Yeah, you know, the kids will do something intentional wrong, and we've really tried to work on it. It's not okay to just say you're sorry when it's an intentional act, right? Because that's not really speaking a heart of change. Or worse, sorry. Sorry for stealing your candy and eating it. Right? That's not repentance, is it? Because there isn't that heart change of there's a sorrow that comes. Look at this. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. Paul's talking to the believers here. Look at the fruits that come from repentance. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you? What earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. At every point, you have proved yourselves to be innocent in this matter. Okay, so these are some of the fruits that come from real repentance, that you can see there's a repentant heart. You're concerned now. There's actually a concern of, gosh, am I living in sin doing this? And you go to the place of asking that question and coming to the realization that whatever it is wrong, and saying, God, forgive me for that. And I'm going to turn away from it because I now realize that that's wrong. Or I realize I don't want that. I want you. That's repentance. Okay? So we have review here. Jesus is the only way. Salvation is a gift. Repentance. And now we come to following him. Okay? We're going to spend some time on this, because this is a big one. I think a lot of times we talk about salvation and we think about the forgiveness, the gift that is, the repentance. But what about following him? Making Christ Savior and Lord, we hear that a lot in Christianity. And preparing for this talk, I started looking into the Bible for verses that talk about, well, where does it talk about you need to follow Christ to be saved? Is that just like an optional part of being a Christian that makes your life go better? Or is that part of salvation? So I'm going to load my verse machine gun here. And they're going to be really small. You might not be able to read them in the back. And I wanted them all on one page. But I ran into all of these in the Gospels. It's all Jesus talking about following him. And there's many more. I picked 6 of them. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Is that verse, kind of the beginning of that verse, kind of like a little twist of the knife there a little bit? What are you talking about, God? Love you more than my father and mother or my kids? What does he mean by that? It means he's first. Are we going to do a better job of loving our mother and father or our kids or our wives or our friends if we love God first? We are. And then what I was talking about letting go, you know, death before life. You can choose a death willingly of the life that you're leading and choose Christ's leadership and lordship in your life, or you cannot. But the wages are still going to be paid. Look at this one. Not this one yet. There's one more. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Follow me is found in every one of these verses. And this one's pretty harsh. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Jesus is pretty serious about this subject as it relates to salvation. Following him. Making him Lord. So some of you have seen this diagram Randy's used before, and let's just walk through it real quick. So there's different levels of coming to a realization that you need to be saved and where your relationship is at with God. And there's the kind of the frustration level. I'm sick of this. I need help. God, this sucks. This life is so hard. I need you. Okay, there's that level. But it's lacking something. It's a closer. You're getting closer. And then you might move into the, I feel really bad for what I've done. I have made a mess of my life. I need to be forgiven. I need another chance at this. I'm blowing my life. And that's getting closer. But until you reach what we've been talking about, surrender, control of your life, I need a new leader. Until you reach that point, you don't enter into the kingdom of God. Because you're still living your own way. You're still eating of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. Right? You're still leading your own life and not letting the Lord lead it. Okay, but once you do that, once you recognize repentance, surrender, you recognize you need your sins paid for, that Jesus came and did that, and you make him the leader of your life, you enter into the kingdom of God right now. Eternal life starts when you do that, right? Your spirit will not die. God assures us of this. And then we step into an obedience level relationship with God. Randy talks about the different intimacy levels with God. There's potter, clay, there's sheep, shepherd, father, son. He gets up into the higher levels, friend and lover. Well, there, you experience some of any of those levels in your beginning walk with God, but mostly it's obedience. I mean, I remember, God, what do you want me to do now? You want me to go talk to that person? How about you? Okay, I'll go do that. What do you want me to do now? What book do you want me to read in the Bible? And that's great. And that's that exercising that muscle that hadn't never been used before, which is letting God lead your life. But as you walk in that more, the fruit of being a follower of Christ starts to come in, and you start this love relationship with God, and you realize this isn't all just about God trying to get a bunch of minions and people he can just tell what to do, and okay, I'm building my, it's like Sim City or something, and I'm building my empire here, and now I've got these people, and I'm going to put them over there and make them do that. No, it's a love relationship. You start to realize, God, you told me to do that, and I did it, and I found life there. And I brought life to those people when I did that. Oh, I get it. This is a love relationship with you. That's why you're doing this. That's why you died for me. It wasn't just to get more power. It's because you love me and you want to walk in a love relationship. And so you start to enter into that until you get to a place now where God has a reliable follower. Okay? Now he can trust you with more and more because you've stepped out of that place of, I want to eat the fruit. That's nice, God, but I want to try this. And you've stepped into this love relationship with God. You have a track record of following him. And now it's almost like a partnership level. It's this friendship level. He still calls the shots. Every once in a while, he lets you call one. Which way should I go here, God? Which way do you want to go, Jeff? Well, I want to go this way. Is it okay with you? Go, I'll be with you. Every once in a while, he throws one of those in there. Okay, it's biblical still. You don't go to him and ask him, should I kill somebody or should I not? I'm kind of mad at him. You don't go and ask those things, but if there's two good roads to take, I still ask, right? I'm still letting him follow me. I didn't mean to say that. Okay, so he's leading, but there's more engagement and there's more relationship that develops as you walk with him. You guys are so gracious. By not laughing when I make those awkward mistakes, Okay, so what happens if you come to the Lord, you make him leader of your life, and he tells you that he wants you to do something that's really difficult, or it's just, you really don't want to do it. Maybe it's a sin issue. Maybe it's drinking too much. And God says, I want you to stop doing that. It's bringing death to your life. It's a sin, and I'm telling you to stop. And you say, I find a lot of life in that, in drinking. I don't want to stop. I'm not going to follow your lead in this one, Jesus. I'm going to keep doing it. What happens to your salvation? Put on hold? Your growth gets put on hold. Yeah. What's that? What does that mean? You have salvation, even in that situation. You're not letting Jesus lead you. Okay? Any other thoughts? Yeah, I believe that when you enter into a relationship with God and you make him Lord of your life, you really don't have, you have this much idea of what that means. And then you walk with God, and he draws you deeper and deeper. When I came to the Lord, I thought I was all in, right? And to the best of my knowledge, I was. And I had these places I didn't want to give up. And I went through those three stages with making him Lord at the bottom as well. I feel like I was saved at the beginning of those three steps. But there was these stages of learning what it meant to let him lead, right? So you make him Lord, and then you run into these, oh, I don't want to give that one up, God. And what it is sin, okay? When we start a relationship with God, we don't stop sinning completely. It's a process of walking with God and him walking us out of sinning, right? Our whole life walking us out of sinning. He's trying to walk you out of sinning in that area of drinking too much, giving yourself over to alcohol instead of over to the Spirit, right? So he's trying to, and you're resisting it. Now, if that's your position in everything, I receive your forgiveness, you died for my sins, I need you to pay for my sins, but I'm not going to follow your lead at all. And I'm not going to follow your lead with the drinking thing, and don't ask me again about it, because I don't even want to follow you. And I don't want to follow you in this area, in this area, in this area, but I want to be saved. Then I would say you're at risk of not being saved, because you're not making him Lord. You're not listening to Jesus' words. Follow me. And salvation isn't the only thing on the table. We're talking about life right now. Okay? We get stuck in this, am I saved or am I not saved? And what do I need to do to experience life with God right now? Follow Jesus. Let him come in. Cover those sins that you've committed. And then walk with him in that process. Okay? Your salvation is secure if you've made him Lord of your life. If you stumble in that, in areas of your life and making him Lord, that's your walk. That's your relationship with God, is walking through that with him. Repentance. The Bible still talks about repentance even once you're saved. And confessing your sins one to another, drawing your brother or sister in to help you with that. I'm really struggling with giving Jesus lordship over this area of my life. I mean, I even said, I don't want to follow you in this. And you let that convict you. And you walk with God in that. That's your relationship with God being saved. It has to be more than fire insurance. It's that lordship level. There's much more involved in that for you than just saying, Jesus came and died for my sins, and so now I can keep on going the way I am. I'm not going to listen to him, and I'm good. I'm covered. Now it's time to move on to the next stage of my life. That's a scary place to be. Okay, what does one not need to be saved? Just cover a few things, three things here. Belong to a certain church. Okay, I go to this church, I'm covered, and this creates a lot of controversy, right? There's the anointed church of whatever that I go there and I'm saved, but all these other people are lost. No, we talked about how Jesus is the only way, right? So there's all these sects and cults and religions that say, well, we believe in Jesus, and if you don't come here, you're going to hell. But that's not what the Bible tells us. It's not. That actually falls into the area of works, which is another one of these points. Being baptized, we get caught up in the idea, and all these you'll find are a way of trying to creep back to, there's got to be something I can do to be saved, right? There's got to be something that I can do to earn this. So it's being baptized. Baptism does not save you. Okay? It's a fruit of being saved because Jesus commands us to be baptized. But it's not the thing that saves you. It's that relationship with God, that making him Lord and covering your sins. Earn it through human efforts. If I just do enough good deeds, right? The 6,500,000 good deeds, then I'll earn it. But all of these things, like I said, are all a result of walking with God. If you really follow Jesus, you'll find yourself being a part of a church, a body, because that's what he says to do. You'll find yourself being baptized, because he asks us to do that. You'll find yourself doing good works, because you were created for good works, right? They're not the source of salvation, but they are a fruit of it. Okay. So we've got some time. We're going to spend some time. Each of us is in a different place with this, with God. And I have my internal sources have told me that there are four places that we could be in right now, and most of us fall into one of those four. Okay? So I'm going to go through those four, and you're going to think about which one you fall into. And I'll tell you which one I fall into after I go through them. And then we're going to spend some time with God, put some music on, and talk to Him about it. And mostly listen to Him about it and what He wants to say. There are people in this room right now, I'm confident, that have not received Christ's payment for their sins or made Him the leader of their life. I'm very confident of this. Okay? You know who you are, and God brought you here today. I know because I've been praying for it this week, that you would come here and hear how you do find salvation in God and how you find life starting today in your spirit. Okay? So think about that if that's you. You're going to know what category you fall in pretty quick. I have come to Christ for forgiveness, but not leadership. Either way back when or just the other day, I asked Christ to come in and forgive me for something I've done, or recognized I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. But you haven't made the step of leadership and giving Him leadership of your life. I came to Christ for leadership, but have strayed from it in areas of my life. Okay, so I made that decision. And that, again, could have been way back when, or it could have been recently. And I'm not letting Him lead me, though. I started that journey with God, came into salvation, but I've strayed from letting Him tell me what to do and tell me how to find life. Or you may be following Christ right now, but you've forgotten the joy of your salvation, and that's what He, remember, that's what He wants us to all walk away with today, is the joy of our salvation. Each one of these categories has a need. Whichever one you are has a need to step back into the joy of your salvation or to step into it for the first time. I told you I'd tell you where I fall on this. I would say I'm a mix of these two. Okay? I think often I forget. I do follow Christ and I do ask Him to lead me, but not in every area. I'm still learning that lesson big time. Okay? He's still showing me where I'm not giving it over to Him. Okay? And I still bump into things sometimes. I'm like, I don't want to do that, God. You know? But the more I submit to that, the more it hurts when I don't. And the more I want to do that. But I'm probably in one of these two areas, a mix of these. So let's spend some time just listening to God. I would encourage you to, if there's a response to one of these that God's urging you to do, pray it out. Talk to God. He's listening right now. He loves these times where we just listen to Him. So let's put that music up and